was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky, through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever been caught bootlegging except on the football field. True story in my case, I just wasn't fast enough. What about you, Jason?
What did you do? You're selling beer at high school football games?
Not now, though.
You meant as a younger man.
I'm talking about when I got my finger broken on the football field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a bootleg play.
Just keep going,
yeah.
Brent.
Yeah, okay. All right. Today's title is The Angel's Share, Prohibition in Kentucky. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. With me is the man who enunciates better than Ron Burgundy. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
While you were reading that sentence, I tried to remember what I might say at that moment. I know who he is, but I have no idea what he did.
I thought maybe you would just bust out one of those sentences that you do before the show where you say rubber baby buggy.
Oh, yeah, I did that like TV host dude. All right.
Ron
yeah.
Burgundy, that's the Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell guy.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me a scotch that was Ron Burgundy scotch.
Nice.
That's funny. Yeah.
It was terrible.
Scotch.
it was not good.
Yeah. Oh, the actual scotch wasn't good.
No.
But it was a funny gag.
Yes.
A funny gag gift. Okay. I can see that being the case. I bet they sold a whole lot of one-time sales. Yeah.
Or didn't open it.
Exactly. With us today is our very special guest, the man who drops lob shots right into the corner of the reader's mind, tennis pro and author James Markert.
Oh,
welcome
cool.
back.
He came back.
Yeah,
right.
I'm honored to be back again. Just a quick 3.5-hour drive west, and here I am.
Yeah, the most boring drive in all of Kentucky is what I hear.
It's not a good drive, yeah.
Yeah. You might remember him from the season 3 finale out there. So today, our main event will examine Prohibition in Kentucky and The Angel's Share, one of his previous books. We will also hear what children have to say about history in our Kids Storian segment. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real, only the sponsorship is fake.
Tired teachers, worn out with arduous routine of the school, will find strength and rest in Pabst Malt Extract, the best tonic. The powerful strength-giving elements of the malt and hops will build up the nerves and add strength to the system. Pabst Malt Extract, the best tonic.
This isn't real.
It's totally real. That is an $18.99 ad for
wow.
Pabst. And they are marketing something here that they are basically billing as a health product
it's
of some
tonic.
Sort.
It's a tonic.
Yeah, yeah, tonic is making health claims in the 19th century.
So this is beer for teachers to build up the
yeah.
nerves.
Yeah,
yeah.
You get it. Because
psych yourself up for that class.
This is hilarious.
Which is actually a little ironic.
Worn out with arduous routine of the school.
Tell yeah. me about it.
Exactly. Any teacher would tell you, you have a Pabst, blue ribbon, right after class.
Right. The teacher's lounge. Everybody's going to the teacher's lounge for some reason.
And it would be Pabst Malt Extract.
I'm going to have to take this ad home with me. I have some good teacher friends who might appreciate
it. Oh, they'll love
it.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll love it. I'll send you the electronic version if
Even
you want
better.
Me to after the show. You can email it to all of them. They'll think it's a riot. That is for sure. But they used to do that, though. Health claims on everything. Coca-Cola, health claims, Pabst,
oh, sure.
Claims.
Yeah, they just say whatever.
Of course,
it made
they used
you feel
to have
better.
Cocaine and Coca-Cola.
Right? That was the secret ingredient
yes.
later replaced by a caffeine.
Really
they
must
had to
have
something
felt
in
good.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Really refreshing.
Yeah, that's what they used to say. Nourishes, fortifies, refreshes. These were the kinds of adjectives that they had in those ads. You're 100% right about that.
Invigorates tired blood, they always said.
Right,
right. It's your
blood invigorator.
Right.
In case your blood needs some invigorating out there. That's the kind of thing that you can... It's so ironic, though, because alcohol's a downer.
Exactly.
And so how are you supposed
right,
to get up for class if you're on the downers?
Well... Again, the classroom.
But it says the best tonic, so
yeah,
it can't be a downer.
Correct. It's got to get you there somehow.
And the ad has like a little girl carving it into the sand, too.
because just that's interesting. The student.
Right. Oh, okay.
The student wants you to do this, is the message. Correct.
Right.
Yeah, because she wants you to be at your best when you're going to be in the classroom. 100% right. Now it's time for the cutest segment in the history of history podcasts.
Kidstorians.
I think it's like something from World War II.
Yeah.
Like a tank.
Yeah.
Trying to drive over
some buckets.
They might be
metal buckets.
Fuel
buckets. Okay.
And they're just trying to crush them to save pollution.
Yeah.
I guess that's the case.
That was a cute little remark he made.
That was awesome. Crush them to save pollution.
Right. I mean, that would be the 2018 version of this, right? We're going to get a tank out and crush all the pollution-causing cars or something. But what we're looking at here is a 1920 photograph. It's a World War I era tank, and they've apparently done a big Prohibition bust, and we're going to take the tank. How awesome is this, by the way?
Yeah, it's propaganda.
And we're going to run over all the stills with the tank.
It's a still crusher.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said, let's get that tank out there. Let's show them what we're doing.
And notice, that's a photo op.
Yeah,
that's
notice there's op. One guy in the tank and 30 guys watching.
That's totally man, though, isn't it? Because you just want to see this happen. You want to see those things go under those treads.
Yeah.
That's because they've already stolen the liquor that was in them.
Oh, and then diverted it to the black market.
Right.
And then they do the photo op. That might have happened there. I'm not 100% sure.
That's a weird looking, like those early tanks are just funny looking.
Yeah, they...
It's really neat to see that.
They toyed with the design a whole lot. And just since you brought it up, Jason, with the early tanks...
You bring up tanks like constantly, by the way. I've noticed that.
Tanks are cool. What can you say?
Tanks are always cool.
And in the history of old tanks, there were male tanks... and female tanks. So,
is this a joke?
No, this is a 100% real thing.
Yeah,
there were male
he's
tanks
so smug about it, though.
So, Jason, do you have any guess?
No, I'm not going there. You can't lead me into the
all right. I'm gonna
tank
throw,
romance.
I'll throw James under the bus then. James, have you ever seen anything about that? The difference between male tanks and female tanks?
Could probably guess, but
Let's take a guess. That sounds
actually
fun.
I don't even want to guess.
All it's right. That
I might lose you, viewers.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. We've already done that for you. So Jason.
They actually said that, though? Like the military called them that?
That was the lingo.
Okay.
And you said you had the guess.
You're not going to get me to say it, Brent. Is it the bomb, the barrel, the gun?
That's it.
Yeah.
The great big gigantic cannon.
Of course.
Only the male tank has that.
Why would you have some other tank?
It had a machine gun instead of the big cannon.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was missing the cannon. Hence, it was the female tank.
So happy about that, aren't you?
Well, I would be happier
it's a
if, you
tank,
would,
okay?
if I led you into some, like, booby traps.
It's
there,
not. But, yeah, it's just metal. It's not an animal.
You need to have a separate tank show.
The Tank Cast.
Yeah.
That's just a cool title already, right?
Tanks are cool.
I think so. That's apparently the theme for today besides... Prohibition. And speaking of that, it is the time that we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one.
So, James, one of your books is The Angel's Share. Tell us about that.
Well, The Angel's Share takes place in 1934, right after Prohibition, in a fictional town called Twisted Tree, right outside of Louisville. So there's a lot of Louisville history, but Twisted Tree, I imagine these two trees growing side by side and then coiling up into one tree, and that's where the town got its name. But that's also where the famous Old Sam Distillery set up camp. And Old Sam McPhee was one of the biggest fictional bourbons of its time, until Prohibition, it closed down. And the story is about the McPhee family, who still live on the distillery. And a year after Prohibition has ended, they're also mourning the death of their youngest son, Henry, who died in a car wreck that the father, Barley, was driving the car. And next to the distillery, on the same property, is a potter's field where the indigent and homeless are buried. And usually no one ever shows up to pay the respects at this potter's field until on the anniversary of the youngest son's death, there's a homeless man buried in the potter's field. And that night, about 300 homeless come and pay their respects. And this finally gets the father, Barley, who basically wakes up every day and sits in his recliner and drinks Old Forester, got him out of the house. And he and his reporter son, who is 20, start to investigate who this homeless man was. And it was a man named Asher Keating, who was a World War I vet. But it turns out that a lot of the homeless community really thought he was the second coming. They thought he was Jesus. They thought he performed miracles. Other people thought he was a magician, or he was insane, or they thought that he couldn't be trusted. But in discovering who this guy is and the good deeds that he did, it starts to bring life back to Twisted Tree. And the next thing you know, they're distilling bourbon again. And people looking for hope and during the Depression come and visit Twisted Tree, and they want to visit Asher Keating's grave and see if it's true. But along with bringing back the distillery, Barley McPhee's past comes back to haunt him because he was a gangster bootlegger during Prohibition, and his old nemesis, Tommy the Bat Barducci,
ooh,
comes back into play.
His that like a guy you don't want to mess with.
No, he carries around a Louisville Slugger, and he's not afraid to use it. And I can't tell you how it ends, but it's a very...
Never, right. Never See, have the giveaway.
It's got that magical element.
Yes. Yeah. So it, again, it's historical fiction with a little bit of magical realism.
Yeah, unknown.
Yeah.
What's going on, really.
Because I don't... You know, sometimes things happen that can't be explained.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you were doing your research for this, I guess you saw all kinds of Prohibition stories and things like that.
I did.
What'd you turn up?
Well, I enjoyed, especially enjoyed doing the research, visiting the bourbon distilleries, and learn about the gangsters.
Wait a minute. You went to bourbon distilleries and then you were able to call that research?
Yes.
Slick.
The bourbon tours, you know?
Yeah.
You have to hit them all.
The bourbon trail.
If you're going to write a fictional, you know, novel on bourbon and distilling.
And they go back, like, they talk about the history of it.
Yeah. I mean, they do
it's
that.
Like a museum kind of tour.
And then, of course, you got to try it all. So I think one of the most interesting things I turned up when I was researching the bootlegging, George Remus out of Cincinnati, who was known as the king of the bootleggers. He, I guess before Prohibition, they knew it was coming. So he actually became a pharmacist and started buying up all these pharmacies. So when the government came in and took all the bourbon and the whiskey from the aging houses, they would store them into their safe houses. And the pharmacies, they would kind of give it out to the pharmacies to use as medicine. But Remus would sometimes hijack his own trucks. So he would get it, you know, money from selling it through the pharmacies, but also occasionally he would hijack it.
From where it was coming.
And then he would sell it illegally that way.
Yeah, and then he became fantastically wealthy.
Yes, very wealthy.
He had a big mansion, a $100,000 marble swimming pool in the 1920s money, which is just almost unimaginable to spend that kind of thing. I mean, you can at least put a zero at the end of that now or something of that nature.
Well, I think he's the one that Fitzgerald modeled the Great Gatsby of.
Yeah.
The characters.
I don't know that you can ever always prove those kinds of things, but the rumor on the literary streets is Remus is Gatsby.
Right. Yeah. And the people that you live contemporarily with.
Right.
You know, you go, okay, I'm going to make a character about this guy, this thing that's going on.
Of course, I'm not sure how much Remus looked like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Dead ringer.
Dead ringer.
Dead ringer.
Yeah.
No, actually. He looks more like Mr. Clean or somebody
well, you know, like
that.
Another example is Citizen Kane. I mean, that's Orson Welles based that on Hearst at the time.
Right.
Similar life story, similar type of bigger than life character.
Yeah.
Which always good for a movie.
And then a bigger than life Hurst.
Yeah, yeah, William Randolph right. Hearst, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was in Deadwood. He was a character in Deadwood, right?
Now, if we're off to... If you want to talk Deadwood, we can talk Deadwood.
Can we have a Deadwood episode? Deadwood. Let's have a Deadwood show.
Deadwood is great.
Love and Deadwood.
That's right. They put somebody playing the real guy
right.
in there because he got in all those gold mines mm-hmm. and all that stuff and took over. Yeah, it's great. Oh, it became interesting all of a sudden.
Had a Deadwood moment, yeah.
Deadwood.
Yeah, you were bored for the entire 16 minutes until,
now that's a show.
Until you got to
And that's
that
a really good show, by the way, but it's history.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually happened. Pretty much the events played out with the sheriff and
it's so well
Spurgeon.
Written.
Yeah. The towns of the Plains West, for sure.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Well, we were just about to say that Remus had a larger-than-life life, too, because he did all the things that people do when they get rich. Overnight, like the way he did.
What do you mean?
So you go out and you buy a fancy house.
Sure.
Right? And then he drops wife number one for wife number two.
Right.
And so then he's got...
Gets a tuxedo and wears it around.
Yeah, he's got this whole big party lifestyle going on and things of that nature.
That's Gatsby, though.
It is Gatsby.
But he had a motivation.
And you might remember if you read The Great Gatsby, it said that he... was asked about his past, and he said something about the drug industry.
Yeah.
Well, that's the medicinal alcohol mm-hmm. and the pharmaceutical business.
Sure, okay.
100% right.
What do you mean, if I read Great Gatsby?
If you
actually,
didn't read the Cliff Notes.
Very few, but that one I did read. I love Gatsby. Yeah, Gatsby's cool.
Yeah. And then eventually, that was his undoing, right? Was this new lifestyle, because he got to be investigated by the federal authorities. And then wife number two actually hooked up with one of the investigators.
Oh.
Yes, I read that.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
Where's the movie about this guy?
It sounds there like a movie on Remus.
Yeah, forget Gatsby. Just go straight for
like
Remus.
It sounds like Gaudy
right?
in a way. You know, he became so big and maybe put it out there too much publicly about his crimes and his wealth. Then the government comes after you because you've made a spectacle of yourself. You know, like Gotti did.
That's probably
I want
exactly
to see
the
movie.
Case with Remus.
Yeah.
I'm happy to write the script if there's a
there
producer
you go.
out there who will.
All right, then. If
the
you
money.
Producers are listening.
What's his name
we've
again?
Got consultants. George Remus.
Remus just is a good name anyway. Mm-hmm. Just Remus.
That'd be the title of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. Remus. And then people would be like, well, what's Remus?
Yes.
And then
now remember,
naturally...
I called it. I said, where's the movie?
Exactly.
Story credit right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
First line.
Produced by Jason Donner.
Yeah.
Remus. Yeah, I can see that for sure. And then in the end, that was his undoing too, because he actually wound up killing her over that, because he went to prison, but it was a short term. He got out, wanted revenge, and then that was a big sensational trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to write this when I get home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The script.
I'm going to have to Wikipedia this thing on the way home.
On the way
I'll take
home,
the
wait
bus.
A minute.
I'm going to take the bus.
Oh, okay. As long as you're not breaking any state laws along the way, that would be true. And I think probably we better pay some bills around here. And that would be bad news for bootleggers who prefer Prohibition's excesses to the Brewer's self-regulation program. Don't get your hopes too high, Mr. Bootlegger. Folks remember Prohibition, and they remember you and your lawless gang with your bribes for officials, your poison hooch for young and old alike, your Tommy guns and sudden death. America will never forget that costly, misguided Prohibition era. Moderation is instinctive in most people. Moderation in eating, moderation in drinking. Most people would rather have a moderate glass or two of beer than a gallon of bootleg hooch. Brought to you by the Kentucky Committee of the Brewing Industry Foundation, 1943. So they're just reminding you there that Prohibition was bad, okay?
Yeah. Still drink, but don't. Yes, we're past all that.
Maybe bad, but it would make good movies.
Yeah, it would make great movies, wouldn't it? All the Tommy guns and sudden death.
In the language.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? Because that's how gangsters talk. You got to add C at the end of every sentence.
No, I agree.
Like the whole barking up the wrong tree. One of the phrases I thought that was funny from that time that they would say tooting the wrong ringer.
What does that mean?
Barking up the wrong tree.
Okay, then they changed it around a little.
Yeah.
All right.
Bootleggers just sound cool, too. You know, it's alcohol.
Speakeasies. How cool does a speakeasy sound?
I mean, they're just, you know. And the law was kind of completely impractical.
At first.
What about that?
At first, they gave a pretty good go at it.
Yeah, but that got pushed through by a very small group, right? I mean, the majority of the United States wanted to do that.
They'd been talking about it for a while.
Now, that was the thing. It was a progressive era deal, and the progressives were relentless. I mean, once they got an idea in their head,
they thought this would improve people, all the drunks, the behavior.
Yes. Progress is the key word of progressive.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do was just make things better. And they figured that alcohol caused so many social problems that you ought to get rid of it. And
right.
they did it.
Makes sense.
And you have to amend the Constitution, which is what that took. You got to have 3/4 of the states. And so they did it. I mean, it was a big thing. And
so
then
instead they created Al Capone.
Right. You went from alcohol to Al Capone.
Right.
There's the title of your short
from
story.
From alcohol.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, Jason, it's time for the takeaway. No music, just your thoughts.
Okay.
Biggest
what are we
thing.
Talking about? Oh,
Prohibition.
The Prohibition.
Prohibition.
I guess I said it anyway. I was just thinking about that period of time. It's just interesting that life went on without alcohol, and it was actually a crime to do it. You know, maybe we'll look back on other drugs later, 20 years from now, and think, why did we ever do that? The people then, like, it was an actual crime to do it, but people kept drinking, made an underground market of it. It's just beyond our comprehension to think, man, the people really, you couldn't buy a beer? It was a crime to do that?
Yeah, it was a really experimental decade or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear, Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return. You can download even more episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or rate us. Also,
check
buy
out the
that book.
Book.
Yeah,
buy that book.
The Angel
the
Share.
The Angel Share.
James Markert. Markert. You got me doing it now.
Yeah.
James Markert.
You had it right the first time.
he told me earlier that people mistake his name for Market all the time.
Oh, okay.
And then that got into my psyche, and then I did it. If you didn't like what you heard, well, that's all right. You won't be able to rate it anyway. Special thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong, our guest, James Markert. See? Markert with an R. The Angel Share. The Paducah School of Art and Design and WKMS. And the rest is history.